Welcome back to When Push Comes to Shove. On today's episode, we have the gorgeous Maddie here, who is a very experienced doula, a author, and she runs Maddie's Miracle, which you can talk about in a moment. You also do a lot of work with AIMS, and you are just an all-round awesome person. So welcome.
Hi, nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started doulaing.
Oh, it's nearly 18 years ago. I can't believe that something has kept my attention for so long. I flitted around doing quite a few things before I found birth work. And I think, like a lot of doulas, it was through my own experiences of having babies that I began to realise that there was such an enormous gap in the psychosocial care that families receive during this life-changing transition. I had a doula of sorts with my first child, a postnatal doula in the form of my mother-in-law, who, unbeknownst to me, had trained as a Leche League leader and a Lamaze teacher, which is an American form of antenatal education. When she'd lived in the States when her kids were little. And quite selfishly, she died before I had my second baby, and I really felt the lack of her.
I bet she had a wealth of knowledge there.
It was her quiet faith in me that had made the difference, actually, rather than anything that she said. She just was there and believed that it would all work out when my premature baby wouldn't latch, and, you know, all of the palaver that goes with, you know, nearly a fortnight in hospital trying to get feeding going. She was just a constant presence, quietly making me feel strong and able and to have faith that eventually it would all work out, which it did. And so I think deep in the core of me, I knew what a doula was, even though I didn't. And for many reasons, I was looking for it, and someone in the playground told me I was a doula. And that was the beginning of an 18-year journey.
That's where it all began.
Yeah.
So you run Developing Doulas, is that correct? You are the founding member? So tell us a little bit about what led to you creating Developing Doulas, which is a platform where anybody can go and train to become an amazing developing doula and become part of the DD family, as we call it.
I was a teacher. I taught English as a foreign language and GCSE and A-level English for some years before becoming a doula. So teaching a course was a kind of natural progression for me. I'd thought about it fleetingly, but I still thought myself to be a baby doula. But my mentor, who had become a really close friend and a mother figure to me, told me that she wanted to run a doula course before she retired. And asked me to help create it. As I was the one with teaching experience, I was able to take a core curriculum, which is what Doula UK provides you with, and transform that into actual teaching sessions, activities for people to do in order to work through that curriculum and bring it to life and internalize that learning, and create a space where they can work out what kind of doula they want to be. In the early days, it was Linda who brought the wealth of experience, the enormous heart to that room, and mothered all of the young people coming along wanting to be doulas. So it was really under her wing that I grew into that role and was able to then take it forward on my own when she just retired. What the hell did she think she was doing? But
And it's grown, it's massive now, isn't it? You have 5 teachers on board across the country.
It's just organic, you know. I've never had a plan at all. I just reach out to people I love and who I really respect and who I think it would be fun to work with. I don't think that you should be in business unless it's fun and unless you're surrounded by people that you absolutely adore.
So we have Zara and Katie and Verena and Amy, who actually did an interview with us not too long ago now about sacred activism and her work. So it's just such a lovely group of amazing doers, isn't it?
We are, yeah. We make each other laugh on a daily basis.
And Development Doulas is growing now as well, isn't it? With their mentoring process that they're, the mentorship program that they're setting up, which is amazing.
Yep. We're setting up what we are calling a companionship system. And we have a gorgeous, shiny new panel of patrons, which is just amazing. We have had some gorgeous people say yes to being our moral compass. That's what they're there for, to keep us on track.
Such a wonderful, amazing group of women who have so much experience as well. And for new doulas to be able to interact with them and glean from them is just amazing.
Yeah, and crucially a combination of doulas and midwives, because I've always felt that one of the things I'm most passionate about is doulas and midwives working together and recognizing that we're siblings and that we have the same goals.
Which leads perfectly into independent midwives. As an experienced doula, have you worked many times with independent midwives? And do you feel that there is a difference working with IMs, independent midwives, versus NHS midwives, perhaps?
I have worked alongside IMs on a number of occasions during my career. And I have to say that whilst I wouldn't say it's always different, I certainly have worked alongside NHS midwives who have been equally birthing person centred, equally flexible, and equally cognizant of the fact that what guides them are guidelines, not rules. I have to say that that is less common with NHS midwives, unfortunately. What I think a lot of doulas say when they're working with a family who have both a doula and an independent midwife is how relaxing it is, because unfortunately when your clients are in the hands of the NHS, you never know what's going to happen the minute your back is turned. You can blink and suddenly there's a new complication. You can turn your head and suddenly they're not allowed to be doing X, Y, and Z anymore. With an IM, you know that it's going to be teamwork. It's going to be conversations. It's going to be offers, suggestions, and everybody's voice is going to have space to be heard, including the doulas. We're going to be seen as part of the team. We're even going to be asked what we think, which is amazing. I remember the first time I worked with an IM and she turned around, she said, "What would you do in this situation, Maddie? What do you reckon?" And my jaw just dropped. I'd quite literally never been asked that. In fact, my normal was to be totally ignored in the bathroom, to be totally invisible. You feel completely as if your clients are in totally trustworthy hands and that you can relax into that and not have to not have to worry about anything at all.
There's no coercion, there's no uninformed consent going on, which is so very important, isn't it? To be fully informed and to be able to consent fully to understanding.
And when they come along at the 11th hour, which is often what they do, IMs, because women have found themselves forced down a cul-de-sac, they can turn everything on a tuppence. Within half an hour, they can have a plan in place for this family who've been feeling helpless and hopeless, and change absolutely everything. I had a family who, right at the beginning of COVID, were planning a home birth with me as their doula, and had been told by their NHS that their doula could not be in the house, and the father could not be in the birth room. He would have to be elsewhere caring for the toddler. He could not share the same space as the midwife. So this mother was facing birthing alone in her own home without the loving support of her partner or doula. And so right at the 11th hour, we managed to find an IM. That IM was absolutely amazing. Her second drove 400 miles to come and be with us as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no words for that beginning of that. I mean, how can, you know, how can they say that that she can't have her birthing partner that she wants there?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, is it legal for them to even say that? Is it,
I know, absolutely.
You know, it's so hard in the birth world to have women's rights listened to, and then COVID come in and it just all went back. And the midwives, it's not always the midwives, but they do, depending on who's there, they are allowed to say what and who comes into the room, what they would prefer.
Admittedly, we were right at the beginning of this crisis.
The unknown.
It was all unknown. Everyone was very scared. I do get it. Mm-hmm. And those IMs, you know, they were putting themselves at risk. They were coming into a home with people that they didn't really know, and a doula that they didn't know, and made it work against all the odds. So I actually want to kneel down at the feet of IMs and worship them because of it is amazing what they can do without any hubris, without ego. That same IM who saved us also was beautifully able to tell me after the birth what I had taught her. Aww. And that, you know, that's the biggest, most amazing thing for a doula to hear, isn't it? When we are at the bottom of the heap. And, you know, so it should be, really, you know, doula means servant. So we don't expect to be the centre of attention. But to have a little bit of recognition from time to time feels very, very beautiful, especially from someone who we admire so much.
Doulas matter, isn't that right, Maddie?
Well, you know what? I was given that title and I've never been particularly happy with it because it's not us that matter, it's the mothers and pregnant people who matter. We're there to support them, to orbit around them, rather than to be put at the centre. So I didn't really like that title, but thinking about the fact that I didn't like it very much did prompt me to then go on and write Why Mothers Matter, or Why Mothering Matters, because that is what I really wanted to talk about.
Which is an awesome book. It's in the same series, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you say that, but for some people, mothers do matter, because for somebody who is on the conveyor belt of the NHS system, they don't always know all of their rights. And that's when a doula can come in and really help them with information and non-biased. And one of my favorite sites to go to and tell all my clients about is AIMS. You support AIMS, don't you?
So I volunteer on the AIMS helpline. Our helpline is both an email and a phone helpline. We have a group of volunteers who endeavour to keep on top of the inquiries that we get, which, as you can imagine at the moment, is a veritable tsunami. Mm. And we receive all kinds of questions and reaching out for support from families. There's a lot of COVID restriction stuff obviously going on at the moment, home birth services being withdrawn, spurious referrals to children's services, and just hundreds and hundreds of I've been told I can't, I'm not allowed, I have to kinds of questions.
Language,
so really, yes, lot to do.
We do not like this language in birth.
No, we don't. So we spend a lot of time telling people what their rights are, but also reminding them that actually, usually when they talk to somebody else in the trust, and they move up the, you know, the levels of seniority, it's usually not too difficult to find someone who has a sensible brain in their head and who's able to design an individualized plan of care for that family that takes into account their needs and preferences.
It's such a shame though that people have to go up the hierarchy and they're not listened to in the forefront.
Absolutely. That, you know, we've got so far to go to a place where all midwives feel safe and supported enough to be able to say, okay, well, that's, you know, not what we would normally do in this situation, but okay, if you've got all of the information and you're making a fully informed choice, then we will just document that and I will get on with caring for you and keeping you as safe as possible, which is what IMs do, right? That is how they work.
Yeah, the wonder of the IM.
It shouldn't have to be that way. You know, why should we have to go to a special self-employed person in order to get the care that should be available for absolutely everybody? It makes no sense.
It really doesn't. You're a huge part of the birthing world community in Cambridgeshire, and you're going to be branching out soon with your amazing Maddie's Miracle, which is your breastfeeding bus that you're going to be able to take across the country.
I feel like I oughtn't to take credit for it, really. It's Oha Maher, who is a developing doula. It was her that really brought this to life after I mentioned to her that I, you know, it was on my bucket list to have what I flippantly call a booby bus, something that we could drive to places in the country who do not have access to face-to-face breastfeeding support, areas of deprivation, or areas that are very rural, or areas that are battling cuts in their breastfeeding support, so that we can rock into town with a crazy looking bus and attract the attention of the media to support people's campaigns to provide more and better quality breastfeeding support in that neighbourhood. So there are a number of ways that we want to use the bus, but when it's fitted out, the idea is that it will just wend its way around the country, from one community to another. In the meantime, while we're raising the funds to do that, we have
fund details below so people can donate.
Yeah, fantastic. If you'd like to give us a price of the coffee that you're not out and about buying right now, that would be absolutely marvellous. And in the meantime, we have an amazing group of breastfeeding counsellors who are providing free Zoom calls. So we have a certain amount of funding so we can provide a free service to mums who are locked down with their babies right now.
That's amazing. What a wonderful thing to be able to do for people. The breastfeeding in this country is severely lacking breastfeeding support. And I think as doulas, we see that quite a lot where women are having babies and they want to breastfeed and the support's not there. And so they don't know where to go and look for that. And so to have Maddie's bus be able to rock up into town and help people will be just amazing.
I think it's just an opportunity to bring new families together and the people who are supporting them together as well. So we hope that when the bus comes to town, it will be an opportunity for a community event.
A big party. On the food bus.
Yeah, exactly, with loads of parents and babies and toddlers and just everyone getting together. And I think after all of this, we will be aching for that kind of community connection.
Absolutely. So to all the aspiring doulas out there, what would be your number one piece of advice?
Well, Carly, you know how I feel about the word advice. We don't give it.
I do. Which part of wisdom would you impart to aspiring doulas?
I think that there's a lot of loud noise out there at the moment because we're all on social media all the time. I think it can be very easy for the loud voices to drown everything out on social media, and for new doulas to listen to those voices and think that they have to be a certain kind of doula. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to explain to new doulas that we can't define our role in that way. The definition of doula is wobbly and stretchy and looks different from doula to doula, depending on who we are, our personality, our skills and experience, the families that we wish to serve, the communities we live in. All of those things are going to make us very different. And we have to learn to be chameleons, to adapt our style and our support to each family that we serve. So I would say that if you're thinking about becoming a doula, choose a training provider, a course provider who can help you find yourself, find what kind of doula you want to be, to develop in a way that feels right for you, rather than trying to fit yourself to a very tight definition of what a doula should be, or who's telling you that you need to do things in exactly the same way as everyone else. Becoming a doula is a radical act of rebellion against a patriarchal system. So why would we expect women, mostly women who become doulas, to be adhering to some tight definitions of how they should act? Surely being a doula is the absolute opposite of that.
Exactly. And I think as doulas we grow, don't we, all the time, and we learn and we change and our views change and grow. And I will say that developing doulas gave me a amazing footing into what doulaing should be like. And that was, you were my teacher, Maddie, and I can't ever thank you enough for that, because you really gave myself and I think our group at the time such a solid foundation of what doulaing is and the flexibility of what that means.
It does. warm my heart to hear that. I am very cognizant of the fact that I just provide the first stepping stone, and that it's you, all of you amazing people who go off and become marvellous doulas because of the hard work that you do, because of the constant reflection and the lack of ego that means that you are able to put the families you serve first above and beyond yourself. That's all you, that's not developing doulas at all. The only thing I hope is that because you've chosen a course that's called Developing Doulas, that you take away the message that this is a lifelong journey.
So doulas support all types of birth, and we support C-sections, home births. I think everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people have a misconception that we either just do home births, or that we will take you to the field and help you have a baby in the field. And we can do that, which is called free birth, which is completely legal in this country. And there has been a few items on Twitter from, I don't know if you've seen this, but there was a young new mother, or about to be mother, told that free birthing was completely illegal by her midwife. And that garnered some attention from quite a few people, and it was shared around a bit. What are your views on free birth, and do you support free birth?
What are my views on free birth? The same as if a person wanted to not have treatment for their particular ailment, or somebody wanted to wear purple flares. You know, purple flares are really not my bag, but doesn't mean that I'm going to make a loud noise about whether she should or shouldn't be allowed to wear them. Mm-hmm. I deep at the heart of me and why I doula is feminism. Mm-hmm. Women absolutely have the full agency and autonomy over their own bodies. They get to do with those bodies whatever the hell they like, and I am not allowed to have any judgment mm-hmm. about that. The word support is a really, really interesting one, because I also believe that doulas have full autonomy over who they decide to work with and how they choose to run their own businesses. So I also support doulas to go through the process of reflection, understand themselves and their own personalities, and decide whether they would like to work with free birthing families. And of course, part of that that period of, you know, that process of reflection and decision making, we have to factor in the way that society, the wider society, feels about free birth, mm-hmm. and what some medical professionals think about and believe about free birth. So that poor person being told by her midwife that it's illegal, you know, this is not uncommon. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that health professional's fault. They have not received the right end of the stick. Mm-hmm. And so any doula walking into that scenario without eyes wide open and arse firmly covered could find themselves on the wrong end of that stick. Mm-hmm. So we need doulas to fully understand the whole subject from all sides, mm-hmm. And then be able to take those steps into those people's homes,
feeling
comfortable in themselves and all that field, that yurt, whatever it is, yes, feeling comfortable with that family, and that family feeling comfortable with her. Long answer to short question, sorry.
No, that was awesome.
Been really, really lovely chatting to you, and you're doing such amazing work with the campaign. I just hope that, you know, talking to me today has been a teeny tiny little help.
Oh, I'm sure it has. Buddy, please, please buy Maddie a cup of coffee.
Yeah, we need about 20 grand to get the bus sorted because it needs a toilet and a sink and chairs to sit on and a chaise longue so that we can help mums learn to feed lying down. And bunting. I mean, what doesn't need bunting?
Oh my God, yes, we need bunting.
Yeah, what in life is not made better by some bunting?
Thank you so much for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing what is happening in the future with the bus. And we will let everybody know where that bus will be as soon as it's on the road.
Thank you so much, Carly. It's been lovely chatting.
Thank you.